All right, in a moment, we'll come back with Jamie Katz, the private investigator that looks for your animals, and we'll take your calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, Jamie Katz with us, the private investigator. And how many other private investigators do what you do, Jamie, in other states?
I think there's probably about 5 to 10.
That's not much.
No, I don't think there's many.
That is not much. Generally, without a private investigator looking for somebody's animal, what have people done in the past?
You know, put signs up, look for their own pet.
They're out of luck. Ads in the newspaper.
Yeah, ads in the newspaper.
Does law enforcement, they don't have the time for this, do they?
No, it's typically not a law enforcement job to look for a lost pet. I mean, sometimes I'm sure they do help, or if they run into a lost pet, they do help. But technically, you know, they're looking for people and solving people crimes.
Now, what do you recommend a person to do if they find a lost pet? What do they do with it, assuming there's no markings on it?
So I definitely contact the authorities, let them know that you found a lost pet. Like you were saying, put an ad in the newspaper, contact the shelter, put an ad on the shelter's website, take it to a vet, get it scanned to see if it has a microchip, and put your own signs up.
Does every county have an animal shelter?
I'm sure that there's counties that, you know, don't have animal shelters, and you have to go to the next county.
Unfortunately, if someone does not claim the animal, do they euthanize it?
I think it's all situational, dependent on the room they have at the shelter and if they have room, if they don't, if they get transferred to another shelter, if a rescue picks them up from the shelter, puts them on a stray hold. It's always situational.
And our producer, Tom, who you know, who just got you on the line, he rescued a little dog, a little tiny little fluffy white thing.
Oh.
And you got to give people credit for doing that. You know
of
that,
course.
Jamie?
No, of course. I think it's great to help. No, of course.
I mean, you look at the eyes of a dog, for example. They know what's going on. I mean, they may not be human beings, but they're alive, and they get it. And they show emotion.
Of course they do.
And everything else. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to who's up first. It's Frank in Maryland. Welcome to the show. Hollywood, Maryland. Frank, go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you. Got two comments about animals.
Okay.
A county north of us, over here in southern Maryland, a man stuck a gun in a woman's face and stole her pet dog. But he was tracked down later. The dog had the
microchip.
Yeah, microchip. And then the police tracked the car through the stoplights and whatnot. And these criminals, these evil people, they forget all about cameras. He was caught within 10 days. And then the second story, this woman with two pit bulls, let her dogs get away, and they mauled this 27-year-old woman. This beautiful woman was killed by the two dogs. And then in court, when she was found guilty, she stormed out of the courtroom saying that the judge was too harsh. She went to jail. The dogs were euthanized, and the poor woman was killed. And this woman, the woman that owned the dogs, she talked like it was the victim's fault because of her perfume. That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
And then, me personally, a few years ago when I first started listening to Coast, a little puppy wobbled across the road. And I hit my brakes hard as I could. And the little puppy, 2 inches from my wheel. This is the God honest truth, two inches away from my wheel. I took it home. I called the puppy Lucky and gave it to my step-granddaughter who wanted a puppy. She was about 10 years old. She loved that puppy to death for 2 weeks. And then after that, she saw what it took to keep a puppy, clean up after him. So it was given away to a loving couple that wanted the puppy.
Well, that's the way to do it. Thanks, Frank. Great stories indeed. That is the way to do it. I had to give a dog away once, Jamie, and I gave it to a woman whose dog had died, and she still has the dog to this day. I mean, she loves it. It's amazing. And
animals are everything.
They really are. As a matter of fact, I just had a story on last night where children who are raised in a household with a dog have lower blood pressure than kids who do not.
I believe it.
Yeah, they have a comforting factor there.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Doug in Parlin, New Jersey. Welcome to the program. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. It's a pleasure speaking with both of you tonight.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
I was going to ask your guest, when she was in law enforcement, did you come across any, and after this also have a comment, did you ever come across any dog fighting rings or, people like that, cockfights and things like that?
As a private investigator, I actually haven't gotten involved in anything like that as of now.
As of now. Okay. And your question, Doug.
Yes. I'm over here on the East Coast. We had a very strange thing going on about 4 or 5 years ago. People's dogs were, people would go out and their leash was cut. You could put a pair of scissors, you could tell, and dogs had disappeared and whatnot until one night they got a guy on a porch camera coming up and grabbed the dog. Had to be 10, 12 years old, and they're thinking, why, and it was a mutt to begin with, and why would he be kidnapping a dog like this? And he went ahead and he clipped the dog and picked him right up, and they seen him going into a white van, and when he opened up the side door, there was two or three other dogs in there. They seen this on camera. They threw the dog in there. He hopped in, closed the door, and took off. They didn't get the plate number, but there was some damage done to the back of the van. They had showed it on the news. Local news asked if anybody recognized it. Three people called in. It turned out that these guys were running a dog fight ring, and what they would do was use these dogs to train the other ones. They would throw them in the ring.
They were the guinea pigs. Yeah.
Wow, that's horrible.
They got it.
Thank God they were caught, and I think there was 24 people altogether tied into the ring that was brought down.
That's so sad. I'm glad they got caught.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, Doug. This must be going on all over the country, though, Jamie, isn't it?
I'm sure it
is. Things like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. So how many cases do you have outstanding right now?
Let's see. If the animal's not found, it's still open. So out of 540 cases, 67% are closed. So that leaves the rest open.
How long will you go before you say, I give up?
Oh, I mean, I'll never not help you. If you call me and you still have a missing pet and you're still looking for your pet, I don't care how long it is. You can call me and I'm always going to guide you.
But the longest you've ever heard of a missing pet that gets recovered and found, 2 years, I guess.
As of now, 2 years.
Okay.
And I've only been doing this since, end of 2014 or in the middle of 2014.
What has been your shortest hit where you got hired and found the dog right away?
Probably 5 minutes.
Really? 5 minutes?
Yeah, it was probably an internet. I found, they called me. Probably wasn't even hired yet. And they called me, and then I just did a quick search online, found the dog, and reunited them.
How did you find it so fast?
Because I know all the sites online, and I know how to keyword search and do it quickly. And if, the guy called, and actually, crazy, another crazy story. He had one of those automatic locks on his door, where you don't need a key.
Keyless entry.
Yeah, and when the battery went low on that lock, it automatically opened. So the door automatically opened, the dog got out, and he had called me, and I think it was like a white boxer pit bull mix, and I quickly went on to the Lost Dogs Broward site on Facebook, and I found the person who found the dog, and I actually drove him to the dog, and we reunited them.
That's great. First-time caller Holly in Vancouver, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Holly.
Hi. It's not really a question, but it's relevant to your guest.
Yeah.
I have a friend that he lives in Portland, and he had a cat that was 15 years old, and he would let her out to go to the bathroom or something, periodically for short periods of time, and she disappeared, and eventually, a couple weeks later, he called the Humane Society, and she's 15, and they adopted her out, and he got a hold of the people and explained what happened, and they won't give her back to him, and I know he wants to get a lawyer and stuff. But I just think it was mean that the guy having a 15-year-old cat for, you know, two weeks wouldn't give it back to him.
No, it does happen. You said that they adopted the cat from the shelter, right?
The person that Gary, I mean, his, yeah.
So the problem with that, I mean, it's a bad situation. It stinks because you would think, you know, oh, well, you found, you know, the person who adopted your pet from the shelter. I mean, I would give the animal back. You know, I would definitely 100% give that person their animal back, you know, with proof that it was their cat and listening to their story. But a lot of people don't see it that way because mm-hmm. they go through the legal process of it.
Yeah, with proper proof, I think you should give it back.
I would.
You know, even if you had an animal for 6 months, and the original owners, you know, found it.
Yeah, I would give the dog.
I'd give it back.
The dog, the cat, whatever it was, back, as long as, you know, the story adds up. They have the proof. It's their animal. They love the animal, and of course.
Yep, no question about it. Next up, we've got, let's see, Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
Good evening. We had a little Yorkie that we'd had for 8 or 10 years.
Pretty little breed.
Yeah, and so we were really close to her. But my father had died, and we were about 150 miles away from home at a funeral, for his funeral. And so the neighbors kept the dog for us while we were gone. Well, she always just stayed around who she was around, and they had taken her out to go potty, and she ran off, and they couldn't catch her, and she wouldn't come back. So they got together about 15 young adults to go canvass the neighborhood, knock on doors, ask if anybody's seen them, put up signs. My neighbor put in an ad in the newspaper, nothing for 3 months, nothing, not a word. And then this guy calls my neighbor, because she's the one that put that in the paper, and says that he thinks that this might be the dog she's looking for. And so he wanted to bring it to her and come to our house, who owned the dog, to be sure that it was ours before he gave her away, because he said, I'd keep her if it wasn't theirs. Well, what had happened is his sister lived in that neighborhood. She had gotten the dog. She had about 5 dogs already. She wasn't taking good care of her, and he took it. When she was out of town, he went over there and got Wicket, was the dog's name, got Wicket, and brought her to my neighbor's house, and they walked over to my house. And it was 3 months, and it was our dog. You know, it was real obvious, and he gave it up. But I'd never seen something like that, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and then we had 2 cats that were outside cats. We had them after Hurricane Katrina, and we moved to Pittsburgh for about 8 months. My mom stayed here. And when we were gone, she'd leave food out for them, but she never hardly saw them, you know, like it'd be 2 weeks and she hadn't seen them, you know, and we'd think, oh, no, they're gone. But when we came back and sat on the porch again, they started coming back, sitting on the porch by us every day, all the time, just like they did before we left. But they didn't do that with my mom. It's strange. But, yeah, them finding Wicket, boy, the whole house was crying. Neighbor and the man, because he said it was such a sweet dog, but we got her back.
That's great. A happy ending.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Jamie Katz, website, jamiekatzpetdetective.com. How far will you take an assignment, Jamie?
You know, as far away as needed.
I mean, so would you, I mean, even though you start in Florida and you look wherever you have to look, if somebody called you from Colorado, would you go to work for them?
Well, I would probably start an off-location campaign first and have the owners, you know, put their signs up. I'll tell them where all the signs go and then, you know, go from there. It all depends on if you have a friendly dog or if you have a shy dog or cat. It all depends on the situation. But, you know, if I travel outside of Florida, it's going to be as a canine handler, not a private investigator.
There's a TV show here. Do you know that?
Where?
With you.
Where?
Somewhere.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, somebody's going to approach you. Let's go to Dan, truck driving in Illinois. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Hey. Well, I've got myself and my spoiled rotten dachshund with me.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I got 2 of them in here right now.
I love it.
Yeah, they practice synchronized snoring at this time of morning.
Tell them to bark.
I don't know if I can even wake them up.
Okay, yeah, don't wake them.
I was going to ask your guest, what is the most spoiled rotten animal you've recovered?
Oh, I mean, they're all spoiled rotten. If an animal, if an owner calls me, their animal's usually spoiled rotten if they call me to hire me.
How come?
Because they'll do anything in the world to get them back.
The owner will? Yeah, once they make the initial call, you know they really want that animal back.
Yeah, once I'm hired, the contract's done, yeah, they want their animal back bad. So usually it's going to be a spoiled rotten animal.
What are generally the demographics of the people who call you for help? Are they older people, younger people? What are they?
Oh, it's a total combination.
It's a mix?
Oh, yeah. It can be anywhere from, you know, 21 to, you know, 70s.
Let's go west. Renee's with us in Tucson, Arizona. Hello there, Renee.
Hello, superheroes.
Hi.
I'm really glad to hear this show.
It's cool.
I really thought it would be a good job myself. I have a trick for finding my lost pet. And then a brief comment after that.
Sure.
My dog, I had a super smart dog, smarter than me. And then I figured out what he was doing. He was using his head to open. But I would pick their leashes up, and I'd think about them with strong intent. I'd head out. I'd stand on a corner. And I try again, you know, saying their names and believing that I'm making a mental connection with them. And then I would set out in the direction that I felt was the correct direction, walk down the road and find them. And it's happened.
Oh, you break it up a little bit.
I've had a 100% success rate with that mind melding thingy.
She was breaking up a little bit, Jamie. Were you able to hear much?
Yeah, I pretty much got that, you know, when her dogs kind of roam, she thinks about what direction they go in, and then she's been 100% correct each time that she's taken a leash and took a walk and found them.
So in your opinion, what would be the most heart-wrenching story you've come across?
Okay, so... right before Christmas time this past year, a woman was, this is in Miami, Florida, she had a little teacup Yorkie, and she was at the gas station pumping gas, and she never left her car the whole time, and she's standing there pumping gas and was looking at, you know, the dollars moving, and she finished pumping the gas, and she got back in her car, and when she went to get in the car, she went to move her purse and her dog bag. She had the purse, and she had the dog in another little dog tote, and they were both gone.
Oh, somebody stole that. Oh.
The guy actually crawled, like pretty much practically got on the ground and crawled, and you see the whole thing on camera, and it was just the most devastating thing because she didn't leave her car. And when she opened it up, she even opened the trunk to see if her dog was in the trunk. And it was just the saddest thing. Like, I cried watching it. It was just, I mean, I had, you know, I was just so emotional seeing that. It was just the most heartbreaking thing in the world.
Did she ever get the dog back?
Sure did.
That's great. That's a happy ending. We're going to come back with our ending and take some final phone calls. And then right at the end of the show, a special tribute as the 75th anniversary of D-Day. We'll be back with final calls with Jamie Katz, the private investigator who looks for missing animals. So make sure you're ready to roll on our next Coast to Coast program. Dr. Knowledge joins us with some amazing facts and tidbits, followed by those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. We are back with the pet detective, Jamie Katz. Jamie, would you go to a pet detective if you lost your animal?
Oh, I did. That's how this all happened. It was actually my friend's pet that went missing, her cat, and I called to hire them.
Were they successful?
No, they were a scam. That's how this all started. I got scammed.
So you decided, what's a scam, though?
They never showed up. They said they were on their way, and we waited for 3 days.
But they took the money? Was it like a credit card thing?
No, actually, I was supposed to pay when they got there. To me, it was more of a hope thing. I'm waiting for this hero to come and save the day and help us, and we waited and waited, and they just never came. They just were a complete scam.
But so you didn't lose any money.
No, I didn't lose any money, but, I mean, it's more than that. It's emotions. It's like...
Oh, sure, you've got... You're depending on this.
You're waiting for this hero to come and save the day, and they never showed up. So I said, well, if this is a real thing, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
And you wasted a couple days.
3 days. Yeah, but we found her on day three.
Thank God.
Yep.
Back to the calls. Linda driving around St. Louis. Hey, Linda, go ahead.
Good morning. I have a happy story for you.
Perfect. I love happy stories.
I work for a police department in the L.A. area, not L.A., but helped a celebrity find her dog, which turned out via negligence. I told her, frankly, we weren't able to find the dog, most likely. She was well-known. Call her press agent and do a release. She had her dog in a short time, but shortly after that, 2 weeks, got a call, an elderly woman had a parrot for 40 years, like clockwork, every Sunday. She put it on the concrete block wall to clean the cage. Somebody took her parrot.
Oh, my gosh. Devastated.
I went there. She was just
crushed,
broken down, crying.
Yeah.
And because of the celebrity thing, it occurred to me, in L.A., on a slow news day, call the news, and they'll do that. Human interest story?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
She called the news, got a call on her parrot. They ended up arresting the guy for extortion. She got her parrot back.
Awesome.
In two weeks, too good. I thought I was brilliant.
That is brilliant. That's how we got Michael Jordan's daughter's dog back, was the news.
Yeah.
Good for you. How's the weather in Linda? How's the weather in St. Louis?
I can hear you better on the phone on hold than I can through the radio station. I have so much static.
Static out there. Storms are coming again, huh?
Thank you for helping out Paris, though,
Linda.
Hopefully
I'm a driver, and I'll be out of here in the morning.
All right, be careful. Stay in St. Louis, like the Midwest. They've all been getting rattled like crazy. Does weather affect a pet in terms of running away?
Oh, definitely. Just like you were saying about your friend who, you know, with the earthquakes, you know, when earthquakes were coming. Yeah, no, animals feel it. You know, I call my dog the weather lady. So
the weather lady.
Yeah, when it's thundering out, I know beforehand because she's under the couch.
Steve's in Royal Oak, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Hey, Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. You know, you do honor to the folks here in Michigan. You are a good homeboy.
Thank you. I miss Detroit.
Yep. Hey, okay, Ms. Katz, may I speak to you in this portion of the conversation?
Yep. Sure can.
Okay. I work with 3 no-kill animal shelters. Also, I do training on the side. I'm not certified, but I work with a ex-military dog trainer, okay? Just to give you a little qualification, all right? Here's what he told me, and it works every time, okay?
Okay.
You should walk your dog at least twice a week. Walk the dog in the direction you want the dog to go if it gets out. I got a little terrier mix, and I've tested her 3-4 times. You know, I open the gate a little bit, and then I go in the house, and I peek out the window. And that dog, she's a wanderlust dog. She wants the adventure, and every time she's gone the way I've walked her. Their animals are habitat. They do the thing over and over again, and it's a habit.
That they do.
And they're brilliant. They really are. Stephen, thanks. Appreciate it. Royal Oak, Michigan. Used to go out there a lot, covering assignments in my early radio days all over the place. And you still live in Baltimore, or did you move from there?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I live in Fort Lauderdale now.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I live in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, you're down there full time now, right?
9 years now. Mm-hmm.
Fort Lauderdale, huh?
Yep.
July 27th, we've got a live show in Fort Lauderdale. You should come by and say hi.
I will definitely do that.
It's going to be in Miramar, at the Miramar Cultural Center.
What date?
July 27th.
I'll be here.
Okay. Bring some people with you.
Okay.
Let's see, how much time do we have left before our special on D-Day? Let's go to Mary in New Jersey. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, good.
I never knew they did this. I moved to Burlington County, and it's like 2 neighborhoods. They don't like cats, at least the ones I know. It can't be everybody. It's just like the people that I live close to. The animal shelter was a kill shelter, and they give animal control cat traps and tell everybody to have a cat trap and put wet food to entice the cats. They don't like cats where I live. And the next town over, they don't like them either. They don't seem to like dogs or cats. And it's just going to hurt the people. I can't see why they would want to trap a cat. They just want to hurt the people that they live around. I don't understand it. I had the neighbor, he trapped a cat. He let it freeze to death in there. And animal control said he's supposed to call us when he traps something.
People are sick. We had a story last night. A lady put her baby in a freezer.
Wow.
Thank God they got her out in time.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And then the younger neighbor had three cat traps and kept catching. There was two girls in the back street, and I went around. I said, they have your cat again. Three times they took the cat out. And this time I'm standing there talking to them, and the chief of police pulls up and says, oh, he could charge you with trespassing, but he doesn't care. He only wants to catch my cat. If my cat would go in the yard, he would want my cat. Three times they got the cat out. Now, he rented the house to these people who had the cats. They would come out of the basement, and they went next door to me. Three times they're in the cat trap, but they didn't want that. They wanted mine. It's all done for spite. And I don't understand why a kill shelter would want to do that. I don't understand that.
Sad.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Generally, what are the shelters like around the country, Jamie?
I mean, they're all different everywhere. I mean, I have good experiences.
Some underfunded. Some of the private ones are pretty good.
I mean, I think they're all different everywhere you go. But like I said, I've had good experiences with the shelters.
Well, you're doing this because you love animals, because you're not going to get rich.
Well, I'm definitely not going to get rich like this. No. I love animals. It's my life. It's everything I've always wanted to do is help animals.
I mean, do you ever find yourself branching out from just animals?
You mean like...
Other types of private investigative work?
No. I mean, not unless the person has the animal. Other than that, I just want to stick to one specialization, and this is it.
Did you ever have a little kid call you and say, I lost my doggy?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, I have kids call me, and, I tell them to, I go over their case with them and say to call back with their parents on the phone.
Do the parents know the kid is calling you?
I don't know. I mean, if I don't hear back from the parents with them, I'm probably not.
Jamie, give out your website if you would.
It is jamiecatspetdetective.com.
Do you have a book out or anything like that?
No, I don't have a book out.
You should.
I definitely have a lot of stories.
Oh, my gosh, you really do. Plus, you could solicit stories from even this program. You'll get 10,000 more. Can people email you through your website?
Yeah, at jamie@pijamiecats.com.
Super. Jamie, thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate it.
Awesome doing this. I loved it.
All right, you take care of yourself. Isn't that cool? Somebody who has devoted her life to finding animals that simply disappear. Poof, and they are gone. Amazing. Well, stick with us tomorrow night because we'll have the Doctor of Knowledge plus open lines. Thursday was the 75th anniversary of D-Day when the Allies landed on Normandy Beach in France to eradicate the Nazis and liberate France. The Allies sustained 10,000 casualties with 44 confirmed dead just there as they hit the beachhead with 350,000 soldiers and naval personnel. The Nazis had 50,000 soldiers there. Then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt told the nation that night about the invasion and then said a prayer that lives on forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, my fellow Americans, last night, when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too. Strengthen our daily tasks to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travel, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done. Almighty God. Amen.
75 years ago. Jeez. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.